how fast or how slow I've been going, I put it down just a little bit. I know I'm almost there, and I said, now this is foolish. I'm going to get a ticket one of these days this close to home, but you're just that close. And the closer you get, the faster I'm going, and I'm just, you can't wait. And you know, that's what it is with my living for God and walking with God. The closer I feel His coming is, the more I've got to work and the more I got to do. Just because I know it's about over, I'm not going to, there's no coasting in. There's none of this business of cutting the motor off and just gliding all the way in. I'm going to run all the way to the time my God calls me home. Hallelujah. 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 I wonder if you'd stand with me tonight. I'd like to sing that chorus. I'd like us to sing, Let It Shine on Me. We need to let this light of God's Word and His love and His Spirit, we need to let it shine. We just need to glow. Hallelujah. Let the world, let them ask us in the street and say, hey, there's something different about you. There should be. They ought to see it about us. And let the Holy Ghost, let it shine that others might see Him through me. Hallelujah. Let's sing. On me, let it shine. On me, oh, let the light from the gospel shine. Oh, let it shine, shine on me. Let it shine on me. Oh, let the light from the lighthouse, oh, let it shine on me. Sing it again. Let it shine, shine on me. Oh, let it shine. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord, lead us. Oh, let the light from the lighthouse, let it shine, shine on me. Oh, let it shine on me. Let it shine on me. Oh, let the light from the lighthouse, let it shine, shine on me. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You may be seated tonight. I thank you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Again, we'll just say we're so glad just to be home. You know, when you go to church for the first couple nights, you're just on edge. I was up when we were in Cincinnati. Brother Sizemore is one of the finest preachers I've ever heard in my life. And I told him that first night, I said, hey, don't expect me to be like this guy back here. You're just a little uneasy, but it just feels comfortable to be with people you know and faces that are familiar. Just to be at home. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'd like to read tonight, if you have your Bibles, from 1 Chronicles 22. I'd like to read verses 14, 15, and 16. And then also I'm going to read at the 28th chapter of 1 Chronicles, verse 19. 1 Chronicles 22, verse 14. Now behold, in my trouble, this is David speaking, I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold, and 1,000,000 talents of silver, and of brass, and iron without weight. For it is in abundance. Timber also and stone have I prepared, and thou mayest add thereto. Moreover, there are workmen with thee in abundance, hewers and workers of stone and timber, and all manner of cunning men for every manner of work. Of the gold, the silver, and the brass, and the iron, there is no number. Arise therefore and be doing, and the Lord be with thee. In 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 19, at the end of David's life, some of the last words that he probably spoke to his son Solomon, all this, said David, he has just finished discussing the pattern of the house of God, all this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. And David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage, and do it. And do it. Hallelujah. I'd like tonight, or I feel tonight, to talk on preparing to build a temple. Preparing to build a temple. I would love nothing more than every night that we came into the house of God to know that we're going to see about 100 souls receive the Holy Ghost. I think I could get excited about that. We'd be planning, having a building program every month. And every other month we'd be moving from this church to another church because we couldn't build one big enough. But it excites us knowing that souls, and I know all of us, we've all questioned and we've asked, and people that we're familiar with and strangers, we say, Lord, why doesn't sometimes just an onslaught? Why don't they just come running? Don't they know what we have? But there's a preparation about building. And there's a preparation involved. David desired. He had a desire to build God a house. David woke one morning, and I don't know if it was over the period of the night, and he looked at all of his treasure and all of his glory that he had. He went to the man of God and said, Nathan, I live in a house of cedar. My home is beautiful, and my house is one of splendor. But the ark of God, it dwells in curtains, and it does not have a permanent building. It is not in a house near as beautiful as my house. So I decided I want to build God a house. And that the idea was good. Why not? God bless anyone that desires to uplift the things of God. I think God's house should be the finest of houses. I've seen people that my uncle built a new church, and he had some crazy man in his church. He wasn't crazy, but he might as well have been. He said, we built it too nice. We got carpet. We got this. And it's too nice. I can't worship anymore. God's house should be just as nice as we can build it. So David said, why should I live in something that surpasses what God has? I'll build God a house. And first Nathan said, that's good, David. That's great. God bless you. God be with you. But that night God talked to Nathan, and Nathan came back and said, David, the Lord has said that you shall not build me a house because you are a man of war. You've shed blood. But David, one thing we will say, God said that the seed after you, that one shall build my house. But something happened. Even though David was not permitted to build it, God gave David the pattern to build the house. And God gave him the instruction, the blueprint. Although David knowing and well aware, I'm not going to build it. But God sat down and said, David, this is the pattern. What my house shall look like when your son shall build my house. So David thought, and David in so many words by what we read of his life, he said, well, if I can't build it, if I can't do the construction of it myself, and if I can't be the one to watch it go up, I'm going to at least prepare to build the house of God. I'll at least prepare to build the house of God. And David began to gather. And I read this. I wrestled with this little thought for I don't know how long. And I couldn't quite overcome it for a while. But David set out to gather the material needed to build the house. Now, you talk about losing before you ever start. If I'm going to be the one, if I'm going to save money in the bank, I want to spend the money that I'm saving. I'm not going to save it and say, well, let it for someone else. I want what I'm saving. But David was well aware, what I am setting aside and what I'm putting up, I'm never going to see it accomplish the task that it's supposed to be. So David set up treasury rooms and storehouses. He began to spend the remainder of his life gathering gold and silver and precious stones and all sorts of material for the express purpose of building a house of God, knowing that he wasn't ever going to build it, aware that it wasn't going to be him, but it was going to be his son that was going to build the house. But David, I've thought since I read this scripture, there must have been times, or there had to be, that there were times that David walked in his treasury room. And he'd tell the guard, said, you walk outside for a while. They would walk around and see the gold that he was accumulating and see all the wealth and knowing it isn't me. This isn't for me. I never touch it for my purposes. I never spend it. The money that goes in here, the wealth that goes in here, I never take it out. It's for another purpose and another time. But David set it in and he'd go in and he'd think in his mind, just think, one of these days, this gold's going to be melted. Is going to put on the wall, be placed on the walls of the house of God. Pure gold that's going to overlay the cedar wood of the house of God. And it's gold that I've gathered. It's going to be gold. I won't be here. I'll be dead. I'll be buried. My son will build it. But they have to say, David gathered this material. David accomplished the material that's going to be used to build God's house. You talk about joy. David was filled with joy just watching the wealth grow. He knew it was for God. Now, I get excited. We've tried to have saving account. Might as well not have wasted the paper. You know, that $10 that's stuck aside for your savings for retirement. You get joy when you see that build up. You add a couple dollars a week and you try to build it up. And I guess they tell me anyhow, I don't know yet. It gets joy when you watch it grow and you watch the interest come in. I did. My grandmother gave me $1,000, gave all the grandchildren $1,000 here a while back. And I was so excited. I went in one time and I never did a thing for it. All I did was stick my money in the bank. And I got $20-some interest for that quarter or however long. I was so excited. I was happy because that was my money. And that was mine. That $1,000 long been gone and the interest long been stopped. But for a while, I knew what that joy was. Can you imagine the joy that David felt when he walked into the doors and the candles that were glowing and it reflect the gold and the reflection that was in there and he'd squint at first and he'd think, this is God's will. I've gathered this for God's house. I'm bringing this into the treasury room for God and the joy that came to his heart. And David thought, I may not be able to build the house, but I prepare for it. I helped prepare for it. And David did everything that he could outside of doing the actual building of the house of God. He gathered, he instructed his son Solomon. When it came to a point when David was old, he called Solomon into his bedside and he said, son, I'm going to give you the blueprint. And he began to outline. He said, God gave me this. He didn't write it with the flesh, but he wrote it in my heart. And God gave me the plan for the house. And Solomon, don't go to the right or the left of this plan. Build it like this. God had a way that the house was to be built. And I want to give it to you, son. I want you to build this house. And so David gave Solomon the blueprint. And he said, oh, and by the way, Solomon, here's a key. This key unlocks the treasury room for all the material. You're not even going to have to go and search for the material. Oh, you may need a little of it. But I have spent my lifetime gathering the wealth that needed to be used in building God's house. God's house. God's house. How many times David walked through the completed building in his mind. In the night hours, he'd wander through and he'd think, oh God, I'd love to see the house, the pattern. No one knew what the pattern was outside of David and God. And David could see the cherubims, the wings. He could imagine what glory would be in Israel. He'd imagine the beauty. But no, I'll never see it completed. But that did not stop David from doing all he could to help the building of the house of God, to help in preparing. He turned over the wealth to Solomon. He said, I had 100,000 talents of gold, and I had 1,000 talents of silver. And David did all that he could to build God's house. There was no more. There was no more. He couldn't do anything else. David bought the site to build the house. David fought in times of war that Solomon could have a time of peace to construct it. And David did everything that Solomon might be able to build that house. After Solomon took over reign of king over Israel, he set out to build the house of God. And the first thing he did, he went up and got the pattern that David gave him. And he went to the treasury room and got the material that David had set aside. And he set out and said, men, build it this way and use this material and do it just like this. And the temple was finished. And all the glory, we always say, look at Solomon's temple. Yeah. Look what Solomon built. We're ready to say, oh, look at the glory that Solomon... Solomon got all the glory for it. I've never heard it called David's temple. I've never heard it called the pattern David set out. I've never heard it referred to as the material David gathered. But I want to say tonight, I don't know if Solomon could have built it in his lifetime had David not prepared for the building. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Solomon, you might have built it. Solomon, you might gain all the glory, but there's something that's just taken a little bit away. When we realize if it hadn't been for your father David, you may not have done it. It took David to gather, and it took David to accumulate, and it took David to do what he did to allow Solomon to build the temple. Solomon had it easy after his father had already gathered it up. Solomon had everything handed to him, ready to build. Now, what I'm saying tonight is, in the simple truth of the matter, is this. Church, don't ever feel that we aren't accomplishing anything. Don't ever let that thought cross your mind. Don't ever, when you leave a service, don't ever say that this service didn't do anything. Don't ever be guilty of saying, we did nothing tonight. We're doing more than what we realize we're doing tonight. There's things that's working in our midst right now that go beyond what we even know. Why is it? Why is it that it seems like you go through times that hardly anyone gets the Holy Ghost? And then all of a sudden, bang, you get a whole number of them that receive the Holy Ghost. Is it the revival? No, I don't know. Maybe we put a little extra effort in, but I don't think that's all of it. What we're doing, every service that we come to, and every night that we gather together, every song we sing, every prayer we pray, every tear that we cry for the lost, for that moment, it may seem as it's in vain, but what we've done, we've taken that service and we've placed it in a treasury room in God's storehouse, and God is going to use that material to build Holy Ghost filled lives one of these days. Hallelujah. 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 I know I've gone times and I've been in many churches when you could just tell the people's down and the people's discouraged and you feel like, what have we done? Just what have we done? I preached some sermons and I thought, what was the use of preaching that? Everybody looked like they were half dead, and I couldn't do nothing to get them revived. And I've been times, if I'd have done what I felt like, I'd have cut the thing in two and shut the book and said, y'all go home. Because you just feel, what's the use? What's the use? You may go a week, a month. I've been in places they've gone a year without seeing the real touch and the real move in lives. And oh, what we wouldn't give to see souls filled with the Holy Ghost. And oh, what we wouldn't give to see numbers running to these altars. And what I wouldn't do if I had the power in my hands to just say, you come in and get the Holy Ghost right now. What I wouldn't give if I could do it. But I can't do that. No sense of being silly about it. But we're not wasting our time. We're not just doing nothing. We're gathering building material. We're gathering building material. We're out searching for gold. We're out searching for what it takes to construct a life that will be able to live for God. Not only build it fast. You know, they got these buildings now, these prefab things. They can put up a building in no time. We're not looking for material that we can just slap it together in no time and it won't last. We're wanting souls, and we're building for souls that last, not here shouting in the aisles 1 week and next week back out again. The next revival, they're back in again. That isn't any good. That's a reproach to the church. We want lives that will come and be grounded with what we are building. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Just by coming and just opening the doors to the house of God. That's important.
That's right.
That's important.
Hallelujah.
Just to come and to have someone that's going to say, just flick on the lights, we're going to have church tonight. That's important.
Sure.
We come and we worship God. That's why the worship is for me. I feel good when I worship, but it isn't just for me. The only way we're going to cause a lost soul to be hungry for what we have is to show them what we have. If I kids something, you know, we used to play when we were kids, stick something in our pocket and try just drive people crazy trying to get them to figure out what we got. We wouldn't show them what we had. Well, sometimes we're that way with the Holy Ghost. I got something great, but when they come out, we're not going to show them what we got. We're no different than they are. Now, isn't that the truth? I've heard people that have come to Pentecostal services and they've left saying it's no different than my church. We are different than their church. If they don't preach this message, we're different or we're wrong. There's something wrong if we can't cause a lost soul to see what we have. That's why the worship is so important. When we come, when Brother Bernard gets up here, there's times that he goes back to that chair and he sits down and he says, "What's the use? Why bother having song service? I'm the only one singing anyhow." Isn't that the truth? You go back and you say, "I'm the only one doing anything anyhow." But that worship is so important. Well, worship is, it's gathering gold. It's sitting in the treasure room. We've opened the doors. And there's a soul that one day, when they come searching for God, they're going to be able to go in and say, "Look at this gold. We've laid it up. We've set it aside. We've put it back there." Then when a soul is hungry, they can come and gather the material needed to build their house. The word that's preached, the prayers, the fasting, everything that we've done. This church has been in existence for 12 years. And in these 12 years, there's not one service that's been wasted. Not one service that any one of us have a right to say it was wasted or nothing happened. Because in 12 years, we've got 12 years set aside in some of the storehouses. And what we're doing, when a soul finally gets hungry, and when a lost soul comes in, they're blind. What do I build? How do I build it? What do I build it with? We've got the pattern set aside. We've got the material set aside. We've been praying for years and years and years. We've been preaching for years and years. And all they have to do, it just walk into the storeroom and look at all the precious gems and the jewels and say, "I want this to go in my house." And the pattern's laid down, and all they have to do is just get out and start building the house that they need for God. Prepare. So right now, what we're doing, we're preparing to build some houses. You're talking about revival coming? Well, we prepare for revival. We prepare to get souls prayed through the Holy Ghost. We prepare to see men and women fall on their faces before God and come up speaking another language. We've got the knowledge. This church has got all the knowledge this entire city needs for the Holy Ghost. We've got the knowledge, but we've got to cause them now to come and realize just exactly what pattern they need to build on.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We read, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of the Lord?" God desires, I believe this with all of my heart. If I didn't, I couldn't preach the message that we preach. But God desires to fill every soul with the Holy Ghost. He desires every soul to be a magnificent, beautiful, Holy Ghost-filled temple filled with the Holy Ghost. That's His desire. It isn't His plan at all that anyone comes to this church and leaves unfilled with the Holy Ghost. Every individual is a potential site of a temple erected to God. Every temple, you're not going to see one built this way and one that way. They're all going to be identical. If you get tired of the same house and the same design, you're going to get tired of the church, because God desires all of us to be built. We're just stamped from the same pattern, the same material, and it's just this way in God. I had a young man tell me who was studying to be a minister in a nominal church. He said, what it really all boils down to, you get to heaven your way and I get to heaven my way. Don't matter what you belong to. Doesn't matter how you go. Just all roads lead to Rome. You just don't worry about it. No, I'm afraid that's wrong. I hate to be sounding self-righteous, and I sure don't mean to, but you got to get on my road or there ain't no road. You got to get on the journey that I'm in or there ain't no journey. You got to build like I'm building, because I followed the plan of God, and we are setting aside what is needed for souls, for souls, for souls, for souls. Hallelujah. 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 It's more important tonight It's more important than we realize to come and do everything that we can to touch the Lord. If I came and half-heartedly worshiped the Lord in a service or half-heartedly served the Lord with my life, then there's something that should be set aside. It isn't going to be set aside. If David would have just said, well, it isn't too important to really gather. When Solomon would have got the key, there wouldn't have been much in the storeroom. But when he walked in the storeroom, Solomon had what was needed right before him. When a soul walks in this church, the only way they're going to see their need is if we're shelling out what we're supposed to be shelling out. If we're giving forth what we're supposed to be giving forth. If it's not from my whole heart, they're going to come and say there's nothing there. And I'm not going to be putting aside. But if there isn't a soul that receives the Holy Ghost for the next 5 years, and Lord, I hope it don't go that way, but in my ministry, if I don't see anyone get the Holy Ghost for the next 5 years, I'm not going to walk away and say that something's wrong. I'm not going to say, well, we're just not doing anything. If we're praying and fasting and trying to walk right with God, one of these days the storeroom's going to be emptied. One of these days the door is going to be torn down and the gold's going to be gone and the gems are going to be placed in lives that are hungry for Him. We can't. This church, if we could at all do it, we can't. But we'd love to. We would love to get some people down and build them a temple. Man, could we ever work some of them over? I've seen some, it looked like they were building when they've been praying with them too. But we'd get them down if we could. I'd go back and drag them off the street. I'd stop cars and say, wait a minute, I want to do something for you. Bring them in here and zap, you got the Holy Ghost. If we could, I'd do it. And you would too, but there's no way possible. We can't do it. We can't do it. The church is doing all that she can do tonight for you. This church is doing all that she can do. If you are waiting, if you're here tonight without the Holy Ghost, if you're waiting for something more to come from this church, you're going to wait. You've done waited too long. There ain't no more. All it is the Word of God that's coming forth. This church has come hungry. You need to thank God that there's people that come and pray for you. What this church is doing for literally hundreds, if not thousands of souls, in this community, if they'd only realize the value of this church, if people would only realize the importance of this congregation, because this church, although we can't build it, we got everything that is needed. We got all the necessities to build a temple. All the church needs is you. All it needs is you. You got to clean your own lot off. You got to go and bulldoze everything down. You got to do that, and then all you have to do is come in and gather. The church is to you like David was to Solomon. All Solomon needed was in the storehouse. Song service, when it comes around, is it wasted? No. Man, there's times I don't feel like singing. I'll be truthful. A lot of times I don't feel like singing. Sing anyhow. A lot of times when they say, let's stand and worship God, I don't feel like worshiping God. I get tired sometimes, people saying, let's worship God. And my dad used to seem to get all the evangelists that have you raising your hands, raise your hands, praise the Lord. Come on, raise your hands, put them down, raise them up, put them down. I'd get so tired sometimes, I'd get almost aggravated. I'd say, if he says it one more time, I ain't about to raise my hand. Well, raise them anyhow. We're not doing it for an outward show. Any sermon that's ever preached, I've learned something recently that's been valuable to me. I'm not seeking. Now, there was a time I was, but right now, I'm not seeking to preach masterpieces. I've gone times, and according to where I was dependent on how good I thought I ought to preach. You know, there's some places you just want to put a little extra oomph. Well, that's wrong. The little church needs as much oomph as the big church. And I'm not trying to get up here. I've skipped over some of the most simple messages that's in this book. And I've been studying, and if I've ever heard from what I felt God leading me, I felt to preach some of the most simple sermons. And I said, no, that's too simple. Oh, Lord, give me something. Oh, Lord, He done tried to give it, but I wouldn't listen. But didn't want to preach simple. Well, we're not in a showmanship. When we come and say we like this preacher, don't like that one, that's wrong. Any preacher that gets up here that's called of God, if he doesn't no more get up and read a scripture and try and talk 2 or 3 minutes on it, I need to thank God for the word. I don't pick out who I like, who I don't like. I don't pick what song I like. There's songs I used to get so tired of hearing deeper, deeper. That song, I think, oh, don't sing that. And just as sure as I'd get on my mind and say, I hope they don't sing it, they'd turn and say, let's turn. It was 19 at home. Let's turn to page 19. Let's sing deeper, deeper as we walk in God. And I'd think, oh, I hate that song. I just really, I don't even like to sing it. Sing it anyhow. Sing it anyhow. Those words that's coming out, not the words necessarily, but the feeling, that's gems that's going aside in the storeroom. That's jewels that we're putting aside. One of these days, I don't know how full that storeroom is, but if you don't start getting the Holy Ghost, we're going to have a full room one of these days. We're going to have to unload that rascal and get people filled with this. The storeroom is waiting for souls. But when they come, all we have to do is point them to the storehouse. Say, there's a treasure room. Everything you need. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They come down. This church has the knowledge through the Word of God how to pray a soul through the Holy Ghost. We have it. We have what you need. You need to repent. You need to be baptized in Jesus' name. Receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And all that's building foundation and building the walls and building the building. Getting it all set. But that's so we're preparing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us stand tonight. Blessed be the name. Hallelujah. Solomon, are you troubled? Are you mad or angry with your father for giving you all that? Well, no. No, he saved me a lot of work. He saved me a lot of work. The early day Pentecost, they tell me, men as they prayed and searched and they sought the scripture to find the way, and they walked one way, and Brother Rutledge talked different times, and he's growing up. They preached against everything and the brother. And they said, this is wrong, that's wrong. It all is sin. And make it so hard that it's almost impossible to live it. Well, they were searching. That's what they were doing. You're searching. Well, today we bring down a well-polished word. We bring down the gospel that it's been tried for years. It's been proven. And it's ready. All a soul has to do is be hungry for the gospel. And they can build their temple for God. We're preparing. Don't ever, ever, ever come to church and leave saying we've done nothing. We've done something. We've done something tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Let's raise our hands and let's just thank God tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.